My turn. Good morning.
Morning.
You guys doing okay?
Yes, sir.
Hey, it's always good to be here with you guys at Warwick Baptist Church.
Amen.
You're part of my family, and I hope I'm part of you guys, right? It's always exciting to be in the house of God. Anybody need a hug? Y'all smile. Come on. Joy in the Lord.
Bless you.
Thank you. See, he knew. That's the kind of joy we should have, the kind of hugs we should have. Faith of a child. Amen.
Amen.
How y'all doing? Glad your pastor's away? Huh? Had enough of Genesis for a while? I keep up with y'all. I know where you've been. I love being able to go online and keep up with you guys and listen to Justin. And I love him dearly. He's a dear brother in Christ. And you're blessed. Let me ask you, did you come this morning prepared to worship? Did you come prayed up? Did you open up the Word this morning and partake? How about this past week? You been in it all week? Or you just wait till the day and see what this guy's got to have to say? Guys, we need this so much today. We live in some pretty tough days, don't you think? There's a lot of hatred. There's a lot of bitterness, a lot of hurt. Our world is messed up with a lot of messed up people, amen? Are you messed up? I'm messed up. We're all broken. We all got issues. And it's just getting tougher and tougher every day in this world that we live in. But you know the good thing and the good news is that we that are born again believers in Jesus Christ, we're just passing through. We just passed through. You should say amen. I'm heaven bound because of what Jesus did for me on the cross. The blood that was shed. We're going to have communion today. Justin told me this morning, you got to do communion too. I'm like, thank you, brother. Don't mind. He just messed my message up a little bit where I got to cut something out. But if I don't cut it out, I'm sorry. You just have to settle a bit longer. Pastor said this morning on TV, I was watching it, we only hear and learn as long as what our walls can take sitting down for a while. So, but I'm here to bring some good news to you. Also some bad news. That we do live in a dark, fallen world. That we live in times that are tough. We live in times that we go through struggles, that we go through all kinds of issues. When Justin asked me a few weeks ago, would I preach on it? And I always say yes. But first passage of Scripture, I always kind of try to be in tune with what the Holy Spirit wants. And right after that, he said, go to the book of James.
Amen.
I'm like, okay. So I said, well, you folks need some James. But then I found out that I needed some James. And that's where we're going to be in it this morning, is in James chapter 1. And my prayer is that it will encourage you, that it will challenge you. It will go against the grain some. Some of you might not like what I have to say in the passage. You might go, you got to be kidding, Pastor, but I believe every word in here is from the Word of God. It's all His. He used man to pen it, but it was the Holy Spirit led. So it's His instructions to us, His children, the church of the living God. Amen. Every bit of it, and we're not to add to it or take away from it, but stand upon it. That's why it's so important to stay in it, especially in these days that we have that are troubled. We live in a time that we as Christians are being persecuted more and more. Our brothers and sisters over in other lands are being martyred for their faith because they love Jesus. I'm like, why are y'all messing with it? If you don't agree with our religion, you don't love Jesus, then leave us be. We're going to keep shining. But we seem that we are living in a country where the persecution is coming to us as Christians. So it's times that, like this, that we really need a wake-up call. We need to be reminded who we are in Christ. We need to be reminded of the benefits of being a child of God. We need to realize all the promises that are in this book, thousands of them that are for us to stand upon. Anyone here have a perfect life? Just everything is going beautiful and hunky-dory. You know, I was reminded this morning, things get tough. You get in the furnace. Some of you have been praying for me these last several weeks. I think Justin shared that I'm having some surgery coming up on my back. My back is messed up. That's why this stool is up here. You know, the older you get, the more problems you get. You know, I want to live a life with no drama, no problems, but it doesn't work that way, does it? They just keep coming at you. Few weeks, I'm going to have two surgeries in one day and be out of commission for a while. That's why I got the stool up here. If I sit down, it's just I can't take the pressure. But God knew I was going to go through that. Part of the reason why he took me into James. Because when you get bad news, or you get like, man, I don't like that. You have to realize that you got to go before the throne. You got to go to God. You got to go to your brothers and sisters in Christ to pray and to seek God for on your behalf. Isn't it good that we get to pray for one another? Amen. Isn't it good that no matter what, they can't stop us from praying? Did you got 24 access to the throne? And he says, come boldly before the throne of grace. Come boldly with your request. See, Satan don't like it because he can't stop it. So that's why it's so powerful to pray and to seek him. And get in the Word and pray for one another. It's great to be able to pray for one another. The great thing about it, you pray here and you pray for somebody on the other side of the world and it lands. Just go, pray. So, praise God. Open up the Word of God to the book of James. Just read this with me. If you can stand, you can stand and honor God's Word. If you can't, that's fine, sit down. James chapter 1. It says here in verse 1, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, he says to the 12 tribes, and they're just kind of out there, scattered all around. He says, count it all joy. Listen to this. My brothers, when you meet trials, when you face trials, various trials, all kinds of trials, for you know that the testing of your faith produces what? Steadfastness, endurance, perseverance, whatever your translation says. And it says, let endurance and steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect, some translation, perfect, mature, and complete, lacking in nothing. And if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in what? Faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded. He's unstable in all of his ways. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation and the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass he will what? Pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass. Its flowers falls and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuit. He said, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, but when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. Let's stop there. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for today. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. We thank you, God, for the worship and the praise team. God, what a beautiful time that we had to just sing praises to you. Now, Father, we're going to open up your word and ask God your Holy Spirit will take charge. Remove me out of the way, because, God, I can't do this without you, your power, your spirit. Speak to us. I pray, God, you challenge us, God. We are struggling these days in our world that we live in, and all kinds of things that are hitting us, all kinds of trials, all kinds of temptations, in so many different sizes and shapes. And God, we need you. We need you desperately more and more in our lives, God. And I pray, God, if there's someone here today that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, this will be the day that they come to you and ask you to be their Lord, to believe what these words say. Help us, God, as your children, to learn and to trust you and to follow you. Take these words and implant them in our heart, God, that when we leave here this avenue, to God, that we will have something to take with us, to use and to apply into our lives. And I pray, God, this word would just open up to us. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. You can sit down. This book from James deals with some issues. When those tragedies come, we know we're going to have them. Remember poor Job? Poor Job, I mean, you read the story of Job, man, and you're like, man, you got to be kidding me. He had to endure those things. But look what Job says here in Job chapter 5. He reminds us, he says, man is born for trouble as surely as the spark flies upward. It's coming at us. You can't deny that statement. You can't get away from it. We are troubled people living in a troubled world, as I said before. We live in a fallen world. This world is fallen. It's dark. It happened way back in the beginning with Adam and Eve. That's why we have so many struggles, so many things, because of sin. You know what sin is? Missing the mark, right? Disobedient to God's way. But this world, sin has kind of stained every part of this physical universe that we live in. It's everywhere. Of all people. And sin has deeply infected the human bloodstream. It's in us. We're born with it. They say you watch children as they're born, babies born. You see that sin nature starting to come out as they want their way. Rebel. And when they grow old and they don't want to listen to you. Right? But it comes out in many ways. We were born into it. Our bodies, you know, because of sin, we wear out. So like I said, older we get, more problems we have. The things that we deal with, youngest, we see all kinds of things taking place. It's just going to happen. People are killing each other. This week on the news, I get up every morning, I turn on the news, and I'm like, first thing you hear, oh, there were 8 people shot this last night. Or 2. And it just goes on, the tragedy. The drugs and the things that are going on in our world. Then I go to Fox News and I got to listen to all the junk that's happening with our leaders and politicians. And it's just crazy. I was like, it's all sin. It's going to take place. Marriages break up. Relationships get messed up. We get sick, as I say. We get bad news. Children, this past week I've heard of kids. I talked to my brother last night. One of my nephews, who's named after me, is in jail. This is about his third time because of drugs. He can't kick the habit. And he's struggling with that. He's facing about 6 years or more this time because he can't kick the habit. It's bad news, isn't it? It's tough on the family. List goes on. I don't know too many. I got one friend that's lost 2 grandchildren to ODing. Got another friend that lost one. He lost his one in the hospital, was in intensive care, had overdosed on drugs, and her brother comes up to visit her, that he left the hospital, went back home, and he ODed that night and died while she's... It's crazy. The things that people have to deal with. You're dealing with issues this morning and nobody knows about it. We got things going on in our world. It's like, man, if you knew what I was dealing with, I don't know what you're dealing with. Probably don't want to know. You don't know what all I'm dealing with. But these things happen because of the world that we live in. And we have to make some choices in this world. How are we going to handle it? How you going to deal it? You know, we first thing when something comes in your life, first time doctor say, hey, you got to have surgery. I'm like, not me. Why me? I don't want to go through that. When something happens, you always say, why? You ever question God? You don't lie, you do. I question him. You know why? He's my father. And I can talk to him like he's my father. He knows my heart. He knows what's going on. It might not be the right way, but we tend to do that. We have to change that mindset of what he's talking about in these scriptures here this morning. Sometimes one pastor says this, when these tough things happen to your life, he says, when hard times come, he says, be a student instead of a victim. Sometimes we like being the victim. I know some people, they never do anything wrong. They're always the victim. But how about switching that around, as James is going to talk about, and start being a student of what God's trying to teach you in your life instead of always the victim? How's the victim thing work for some people? Just love to be the victim or be in drama. You ever got any drama queens around you? There's always something going on. I'm like, please, stop. A lot of times, you're not the victim, it's your fault. You put yourself in that mess. And we want to tend to turn around and blame, why does God do this to me? God didn't do it to you. God only wants good for you. Now, Satan wants to destroy you, but a lot of times we blame Satan, and really it's me, myself, and I. I'm the one. I shouldn't have took that drug. I shouldn't have drank that drink. I shouldn't have did this. And then I have consequences of that because they were my actions. And I'll go, oh, why me? Well, stop your crying and grow up. Stop, right? What he's talking about here. Stop being a student. Instead of why did this happen? What does God want me to learn through this situation? Listen, if you don't learn something through the troubles and the trials and all these things that you struggle with, if you don't learn through that process, you missed the ship. A lot of things I've learned, I've had to learn over because I didn't really get it the first time. But God says he allowed it to go. The key is knowing that God is with you. He says, I never leave you, I never forsake you. I'm there. I'm going to walk through it with you. He didn't promise you that everything was going to be wonderful, did he? But it's difficult. In these difficult days, it's difficult for us. It's going to get worse. And here we have this book, the study in the book of James. James, we know, was the half-brother of Jesus. His biological mom and dad were Joseph and Mary. You imagine, we talk about growing up with Jesus as your half-brother. The man that had no sin, that did nothing wrong, and here you are, a sinner, and you're being brought up in his household. Well, here's James. This is the earliest book written in the New Testament, say back in about 38 AD. This is when the church was beginning, and he says it's to the 12 tribes. They had been scattered everywhere. They're going through. The Jews are just being persecuted. They're suffering. They're struggling in life. And he writes this book. It's more like a sermon than it is anything else. It's not like Romans or something where Paul is going through a theological study for you. This is practical. It's in your face, to the point. He don't mess around. He's cutting to the chase. He's trying to help the first church here, and he's speaking to us in the 21st century the same thing. This is how you are to live as a child of God. If you are a real, authentic, bona fide Christian and real in your faith, this is how you walk through life. It's totally contrary to what the world says. We ain't go against the grain. It's different. But we got so much of the world in it, so when these things come as we act like them. And James is saying, nope, this is what you need to do. They were struggling, we were struggling. He's like, some consider him like a coach. He's like, I got to give y'all a pep talk. Church, listen up. He wants to encourage them through their struggles and through their trials. The same thing we need is. But he's telling you, he cuts to the chase. This is the bottom line. This is, these words are same as they were 2,000 years they are to us today. Isn't the word of God powerful? Awesome? Someone said as they counted, I didn't count them, probably should, In the book of James, 5 chapters, there's 50 commands. 50 commands for us. And he starts off in this first part, in verse 2. Look what he says. Consider it pure joy, my brethren, whenever. He says, whenever you face trials of many kinds, various trials. He begins by reminding us that sooner or later, guess what? If you ain't having any problems, sooner or later it's coming. Unfortunately, that's the bad news I have to tell you today. If you're not having any problems and no trials, you're not struggling in life, be alert. Beware. They're going to hit you when you least expect it. In my life, when they come, they keep on coming. I said last night, my brother, I talked to him, his son is doing, the lady that usually comes to church with us, Betty Lou, y'all usually see, she's in the hospital, she's struggling with her health. My mother-in-law, she's had to go to the hospital. My wife was in the hospital all night. I'm like, every day there's something ain't right. Stop. We want to stop, don't we? This keeps rolling at us. That heat, it keeps burning. And here he comes along and says, hey, just count it all joy. Just be joyful. Does that sound right? You like that? You're going through some tough times, you say, hey, I'm just counting it all joy. That's what he's saying here. We have to learn that mindset. He says in here, as he's reminded us that they come, he says, the word face here, he says, you're going to face trials. It has that idea of falling and stumbling over a problem. You're going to face them. You're going to stumble over them. You're going to fall in that pit. Think about it. Life gets upset. It changes. Phone rings. Doctor says, hey, you got cancer. What do you do? Might be someone calling and tell you, hey, my brother got to call, your son is in jail. How do you handle it? Does that bring joy to your heart? Or you got up and you go and you work and your boss says, hey, you're fired. I no longer need you. You don't fit into our plan. Time for you to go. Upset your world. The list goes on. Someone causes gossip about you, lies about you. You ever been betrayed by someone? He says, consider it all joy. A spouse leaves you, doesn't want to be married. Hey, I've had enough of you. I'm going on. And the command is, consider it pure joy, my brother and sister. Whenever you face trials of many, how do you deal with it? How do you respond? Consider it all pure joy. Pure joy. It's kind of odd, doesn't it? Kind of against everything this world teaches us. And people think you're nuts when you tell them that. Sometimes if you look at them, how can I do this? That's really impossible. How can I say this is joyful in my life when it's causing so much hurt and pain? How do you do that? I try to figure out what that word joy meant in the Greek, because, you know, a lot of times in these words that we think in the Bible, when you start studying what they really mean, it's totally different. So you do a search on joy. Guess what joy says? Simply joy. To the point. Simple as you can put it. That's what it means. So you try to look at other translations, and it says, here, consider, one said, consider your to be fortunate. Doesn't sound much better, does it? It says, be very glad that you're going through these things. Phillips' translation says it this way. He says, when all kinds of trials and temptations crowd into your lives, my brothers, don't resent them as intruders. He says this, but welcome them as friends. Put a smile on your face. Welcome them as friends. Pure joy. Positive, isn't it? That's my friend. Old friend, welcome back. Caused so much disaster. Another thing we tend to do when we have trials, when the first time you hear something bad, what happens? Your emotions, your feelings, all of this stuff comes rushing in. What you think? Oh man, I can't believe I got to deal with it. I can't believe this is happening. You start making decisions upon that. What's happening? How can I count this all joy? It's not our natural response. It just goes against that. It's not our natural reaction. But listen, it's not a natural reaction when we go through these things as Christians. It's a supernatural reaction. We have to learn that we are children of God, bought with a price. Amen? That we got Almighty God as our Father. We're filled with His Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We're in Christ. You got to know who you are in Jesus Christ. You got to know who you are as a Christian. You got to know that you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? It's not about feelings and emotions. It's about who you are in Christ. It's a supernatural way of dealing with life. Everything that we as Christians goes contrary to the world. We're in this world, but we're not of it. And we have to realize that things are different with God in His way. We don't understand it all. But there's a supernatural thing happening. When the power of God comes, when God comes into your life, He changes you. You're transformed. You're no longer the same creature, amen? Things are different. That's why the world is against us. They don't understand us. I don't even expect them to understand the Word of God. You're probably not going to understand what I'm saying today because if you're not a child of God, because you don't have the Holy Spirit living in you to empower you and to enable you, to teach you, to equip you to live this life. James knew that. So before I even go any further, the first thing you've got to get straight is, am I a child of God? Am I saved? Do I know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Have I accepted what the Bible says? Do I believe what the Word of God says? Have I asked Him to forgive me my sins and come into my life? Do I believe that He went to the cross and died and shed His blood for the remission of my sins? Do I really believe that? And He went to the tomb and He rose from the grave 3 days later and won victory over death. He took our sins upon the cross, shed His blood for our sins, so we could have the abundant life and have the ability to count it all joy in this world that we live in. That's my first question. You've got to get that decision right before you can even go any further. The Word of God. But if you get to the point that you understand that no matter what we're going through, that's not the end of the story. We're on a journey. We're on a process of life that we're just passing through. There's an eternity ahead. Amen? Most people live, though, this is the day, and that's it. A lot of people in this world live without hope. No meaning. There is no God. You guys are crazy. I'd rather be crazy with Jesus in heaven bound than not. Let me tell you, there's a heaven and there's a hell. Most people don't want to talk about the hell no more. But there is a hell. And without Jesus, that's where you hit it in your life. That's why everything that we do is contrary to this world, because it's a different thing for us. It's a spiritual realm. We're heaven bound. So you have to think about things that you go through in this life that there's another end to the story. There's a furtherance of your life that's going to keep on keeping on. This life is just temporary. Remember that, child of God. No matter what you're going through, it's temporary. It's not going to last forever. But one thing it is going to last forever is heaven. When we leave here, you can choose to change your ways by just accepting, hey, I'm God's child. No matter what, I'm in His hands. It's the way you have to live. And a lot of your faith, if it's not tested, is it faith? Some people say, well, I believe in heaven, I believe in the Word of God, but when the rubber hits the road and you start spinning down the road and things just hit it crazy, how's your faith then? Am I really trusting God? See, if you're thinking towards heaven, listen, If you lose a loved one, I've done hundreds and hundreds of funerals. I've done them for believers and non-believers. There's a big difference between a believer and a non-believer funeral. Because a believer's funeral, there is a rejoicing because that person died in Christ, is it with Christ. They're in heaven. And knowing that as a child of God, I can rejoice because one day I'm going to be with them. But that non-believer has moved on. There's no more hope for that person that has passed on, but only for the ones there. People, I had one preacher say, well, you never share our salvation in a funeral. That's not the place where I'm like, the only hope that I can give those folks sitting in that funeral is Jesus Christ. Because without hope and peace, what do you got? Nothing. The love of God. But listen, your faith, when it's tested, when you stand before a grave and a loved one, someone you love dearly, has been put in that ground, and how you handle it, that's a testing of your faith. It, whether you trust in God and you believe in His Word, that they believe they're in heaven, or you struggle. I've had one person try to jump in the grave with them. Couldn't take it. Like, they're heaven bound. No hope. I did a funeral and I came out and it was a baby had passed away. And I knew there was tension in there. And I tried to share and comfort them and share the Word of God with them. After the funeral was over, I walked right to the door. The mother of that child and the mother-in-law were fist fighting in the parking lot. I'm like, how dare you? They had no hope. They didn't know Jesus. Fighting. People do all kinds of things. Where's your hope? Count it all joy. Got to change. They're coming. Don't trust your feelings. Trust God. Even when things we don't get. One of the things about going through trials and being tested and having joy is, especially for you mature guys and saints, the things that you've gone through over the years and the battles and the struggles you've gone through and you came out on the other end and your faith is strong. And when you go through those things and God has allowed you to go through that process for a reason, and you come out on the other end, you're praising God. Look what God did. You can help those. It gives you a different platform. It gives you a platform to minister in places and ways that you never had before. I've got plenty of saints and plenty of sweet brothers and sisters that have moved on to heaven that I'll rejoice one day. But their lives going through. My mom went through leukemia. My best friend had esophagus cancer. And my dad had strokes and heart failure. Within a six-month period, I lost all three of them. But I watched them go through years and years of pain and sickness. But I never saw them waver in their faith. Never heard them say, why me? What I did experience through their faith and their maturity as they were growing through those trials was that endurance and that perseverance and that steadfastness in their faith that no matter what, I'm standing with God. And it gave them a platform as I watched these people that did their funerals and watched hundreds of people come and say, hey, he led me to the Lord. Your mama led me to the Lord. I watched them in the last days in the hospital suffering and I'm like, man, this is terrible. How do I count this joy? I counted it joy because of what God was doing in their lives to minister to people that were coming in. Amazing. And it teaches you to trust God. Not everybody can do that. I go to hospitals and places like with other people and they're just falling apart. The family's falling apart. They're struggling, trying to make sense out of a tragedy. They have no faith. No faith. Has your faith been tested? Has it been tried? Because the time we'll cut some of this out because I got to do the Lord's Supper. But listen, sometimes you're in the furnace. God allows us to go through some things as we go through this journey on life. We look at it's not God's fault. He's a sovereign God. You believe in the sovereignty of God? If you believe in the sovereignty of God, that means what? Is He in control? You say, Satan's doing all this. Well, he's allowed Satan to do some things, but nothing comes to you that ain't sifted through his hands. There's nothing going to come at you that he has not allowed for a reason. Nothing. He knows. He's caused that to happen. He's doing it for a reason. It says here in the process, it says in Scripture, when you meet these trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, perseverance. He's teaching you something. The goal of God is to mature you to be like Christ. Our whole goal as Christians, as we every day, is to grow to be more like Jesus. Jesus came, why? Because we needed a Savior. God knew that when sin entered this world that we needed help. And he sent his only begotten, sent his one and only Son, the perfect Lamb of God, to this world to die for us. He suffered. He was persecuted. He was cursed. He was spit upon. He was hung on a cross for us, our sins, so we could have a way out, that we could have a relationship with him, that we could have the abundant life, and that we could have eternal life. And we think, well, as Christians, we shouldn't suffer. Why would God? God hasn't done it. That's why he sent his Son. If Jesus suffered, we'll never suffer the way Jesus suffered. He took it all. All my filth and all my guilt. Nailed it to that cross because he loved us. And he wants us to grow. That's why he allows us to go through these things. To persevere, to test us, to put us... Some of us jumping... You remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They loved God. They told them they couldn't worship God. You got to worship our idols. They said, no, we stand. They didn't know what God's going to do. They just trusted. He's our God, and we're not going to waver on him. Threw him in the furnace. Heated that baby up. Kept heating it up. Even the guys that were outside couldn't take it. They look in. They're just sitting in, and guess what? There's a fourth person in there. Who's with them? The Lord. Take him out of the furnace. Not a singe. Didn't even smell like smoke. He delivered them through that. But they stood faithful upon the Word of God, not knowing what, but they still were faithful. Sometimes we get in trouble. What do? We run. I'm going to run the other way. You can't run. They always find you, and they never go away. You've got to deal with it and face it when you go through the trials. But I'd rather face it with a holy and righteous God than the way this world has to face it. Amen. But he does it for a reason. He wants us to mature, to grow. And there's great benefits with that. God's always been good to me. I'm 63 years old. God has blessed me for all these years. He has provided for me in ways that it blows my mind. There are tremendous battles and tremendous hurts and pains and disappointments that we've had to go through. My wife and I are on a roller coaster ride. We've got family issues, ministry. You know what? Being a pastor is the greatest job in the world. But also it's the hardest. Your pastor, just, he's got a great job. He's got a great heart. And he loves you. You love him? Tough. But it's not always fun. It's hard. Ministry's tough. Even you'll last. But God is faithful. He's always faithful. He always provides. He always gives. And listen, no matter what you're going, he's considered pure joy. I know it goes against everything. You got to change your attitude. You got to change your thoughts. You got to change the way you think. You got to choose joy, or you can choose bitterness. The choice is yours. No one makes choices for you. You make the choice. I'm going to choose to have joy during this situation, or I'm going to be bitter. I know a lot of bitter people. You can choose forgiveness, or you can choose to be angry. We got so much hatred in this world. And guess what, Christians? We are to be people of love. There shouldn't be any hatred in there, and we should be always forgiving because Jesus Christ forgave us. He says, forgive others. Amen? But you can choose to hold on. Worst thing to do is hold on. You want trouble? Hold on. You can choose to trust, or you can choose to unbelieve, to not believe at all. That's your choice. You can choose love over hatred, kindness over malice. It's a choice that we have to make. It's a choice you have to make every day you get up, you make a choice. How am I going to do this day? No matter what's coming at me, how am I going to do it? That's why you've got to start your day in the Word of God and on your knees and ask God to direct your path. That's why you end your day. But all through the day, all day long, you have that open line to go to God. I don't care what you're dealing with. God, help me. I don't know how many times I've had to stop or in the thought, even talking to people, Lord, help me through this. I'd like to kill somebody. I'd like to shake somebody. That's their flesh. But God's there to help us in our struggles. Do I want to go through surgery again? Absolutely not. But God has opened the door for me after all these years of trying to figure it all out. My way is God. I've asked Him to heal me a million times, and I'll continue to ask Him. And that process is however He chooses to do that. My way is just because I've seen miracles happen hundreds of times in people's lives. And I know it can take place. But sometimes it doesn't happen the way we want it. God's plan is greater than us. Listen, through those things, there's a plan. Some of those things we will see, and some of the things we'll never see. There's a lot of blanks in my life that I like to be filled in. Like, God, why did I do this? He didn't answer. He doesn't have to. But I know one day, He can fill in. Sometimes it says, when I get to heaven, I'm going to say, God, why'd you do this? Do this. When you get to heaven, you ain't going to worry about it because there is no more pain. There's no more disease. There's no more tears. There's no more crying. Hallelujah. That makes us rejoice. That's why. Most exciting thing is that I'm a child of God and He's with me and I'm heaven bound. You can do whatever you want to do to me. It's not going to change the fact that He loves me and that I will spend eternity with Him. The choice is yours. You choose through all that pain, through all the things that we go through, who you are in Christ. Can you count it all joy? I can tell you it's not easy. But we have to change our mindset and think about who's in charge, who's allowed this for, and what reason. What's He trying to teach me through this testing period? I tell them many times, I'm tired of being tested. I don't want to go through it anymore. It doesn't mean they're going to stop. I'm going to ask. But I do know this, and I can testify how many times He's brought me through those times, that He never did leave me. And I know that I can take the things that I've gone through and those that are going through that, I can help them through that process. Because God is good. So I don't know where you're at today, and I don't know what you're going through, but I can tell you this. If you're going through some struggles, don't know how to handle it, take it. Take it to the throne. Take it to God. I'll pray with you. Ask Him. It goes on and says, if you need wisdom, He'll give it to you. If you trust Him and you really trust the Word of God, then you stand upon the Word of God and say, okay, I need some help today, God. I need some love today. I need a whole lot of joy today, God. He'll give it to you. You got to ask. We go about life without even asking God a lot of days. We don't even consider Him sometimes. I get to the point, if I don't, I know my day is going bad because, hey, I missed the major point of my life today. I didn't give it to God. Didn't ask God to direct my path. I didn't ask God to lead me, help me. He's your God. He's your daddy. He's your king and your Lord. And He wants to do great things in your life. And through your process you're in, whatever you're going through, there's some great benefits that you'll see down the road, I believe, because His Word. You don't see it. Hopefully your life will touch others. Let's pray. Father, always pray for more. Time's precious and gone. But I pray, God, right now, that some of this will make sense to us as your children. God, as you study this passage, you said, consider it all joy. We're going to have these trials, but through these trials, there's a testing. It's like the refining of that gold and coming pure and alive. Sometimes we have to be in the furnace. Some of us are in there for extended time for some reason. But it is to refine us, that we become pure as gold in your eyes. And I pray, God, right now, lift up these brothers and sisters that are sitting here today. God, some of them are going through some tremendous battles, and they don't know what to do. They don't get it. There's a lot that they question. They're even saying, man, you crazy. You think I can count this joy, bro? God, your word's different from my words. Your ways are different from ours. We know we live in this world, but also we know, God, that you deal in the supernatural. It's a different world that we struggle with. But I pray, God, you give each one understanding, that you fill them up today, God, with your spirit. Touch their hearts. Give them some understanding. Give them some peace through the storms, Lord, that you are there with them. That you are their God. That you will strengthen them for the journey ahead. That through this, God, this testing that we go through, Lord, that we don't like, but we need it, God, to strengthen us and to mature us in our walk with you. So I pray, God, each one here, Lord, will be blessed today. I pray, God, for those that are lost here today, God, this will be a day that they come to know you as Lord and Savior. I can't imagine, Father, anymore going through this world, living this journey that we're on, this process on, in a dark world, God, without you being my God. And having to let this world lead me. Because it just keeps going further and further down the drain. But God, you keep going up and stronger. So I pray for your spirit to move. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen.